John chapter number 12 is where we are going to be looking tonight. John chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 20. John chapter 12, I'm beginning at verse number 20. Here's what it says. It says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" We want to see Jesus. "So Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them and saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" So Jesus is preparing them for his impending death now. He's preparing them. "The hour is now come, the Son of Man will be glorified." Verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat or a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And then he goes on and he says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." I was looking at this in the New Living Translation, and I just wanted to read that 21st verse for you out of this. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Unless a grain, unless a kernel, unless a seed is put into the ground, it'll just remain on its own. But when it is put into the ground and it dies, it is no longer seen for just the singular that it is. It's been put into the ground. When it does that and dies, then it can produce a great harvest. Now, what do you think Jesus is talking about here? He just told them before, "The hour has now come that the Son of Man is going to be glorified." It's time. This is the moment. The Gentiles are beginning to come and wanting to see. So the moment is now for my crucifixion, my burial, and my resurrection. You remember Jesus would tell them this temple, as he would look at it and how beautiful it was, and they would make comments about it, and he would say, "I'll tell you the truth, not one of these stones will be standing upon the other," you know, and all of those different things. It'll be torn down, but it'll be renewed again. And they ripped their clothes and got angry at him and all those different things. But he's speaking of his life, his temple. The Son of God is going to die for the sin of mankind, and he is going then to raise again. And because of his death and because of his life, there will be a great harvest. That's what this scripture is all about. He's teaching them what happens and what is going to happen when Jesus dies. When the seed, the beginning, the Genesis, the one who made it all, when it dies, a harvest can come forward. And so how appropriate in this time of year for us to look at this setting. And that, I'm not going to get too much into the death of Christ, because we'll be covering that on Friday. I'll be sharing some of that with you on Friday. But I want to talk to you about the power of the seed. The power of the seed. The power of this grain. This individual thing that holds life within it, that when it dies, when it goes into the ground, when it seems to be used up, that then the harvest can come. I want to just walk you through this process a little and see what we can learn about this. So we're going to be really focused on John chapter 12 and verse number 24 for just a little bit tonight. The first thing he says, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat," unless that falls into the ground and dies. We see that it has to die. It has to be used up. Jesus talking of his life. He came to die, to pay the price for sin. If he had not died, there could have been no harvest of life. If he had not died, we could not live. I'm not talking about life in the natural. I'm talking about life supernatural, life in the spirit, life eternal. Amen. If he had not died, we could not live. But because he died and was sown, this is the power of sowing and reaping. Okay, this is taught all throughout the Word, the power of sowing and weeping. From the time the earth began until the time the earth as we know it will end, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be time of planting and time of reaping. But unless you plant, you cannot reap. So Jesus is teaching something here to them and to us. And he's saying, unless I die, you cannot live. Amen. So we need to understand that, and we'll go more into that on Friday. And I don't want to focus a lot there. And if I allow myself to, I'll stay right there and not go where I want to go. So if you'll allow me, I'm just going to move forward from there. That notice something about this grain of wheat. Notice something about this kernel. Notice something about a seed that it is made to produce. It is created to produce. It is made to reproduce. It's such a small thing, but within that small thing is life. Within that one thing is life for the multitudes. Amen. This is the power of sowing. That within the seed there is the power of harvest. There is the power of reproduction. There is the power of production. And what I want to say to you is this: within the life of Christ, within Christ, there is, was, and always will be the power of life eternal. Within him. But he died. But unless it goes into the ground and dies, it cannot produce. It was made to die, to be used, to be given up, put into the ground, so that something greater could come. Remember when Jesus said to them in John chapter 14 and verse number 12, he said to them, greater works than I do shall you do, because I go to my Father. Now before he would go to the Father, he would go to the cross, and he would go to the tomb, and then he would be raised again, and then he would ascend into heaven. And so greater things will come because Jesus will die. Amen. Because one man would lay down his life for all and die, then the harvest for everyone can come. Now, I want you to hold on to that, and I want you to hold that in your heart. The life of the harvest is provided in the seed. Life for the harvest is provided within the seed, within the kernel, within the grain. The life of the harvest that's going to live after it and beyond it is because of it. Oh, come on now. See, I want you to grab hold of this. We're going to go several different directions tonight, but the life of the harvest is provided in the seed being sown. See, what looked like defeat when Jesus died on the cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb, what looked like defeat, what the enemy thought was winning, he was only fulfilling the purpose and the plan so that there could be life for the harvest. Amen. If the seed does not die, if the grain does not die, if the kernel does not die, the Bible said, Jesus teaches that if it does not die, then it will just be alone itself. There's life in it, but when it does die, then the multitude of the harvest can come. All right? So you got to see that the life is found in that. Now go with me to a scripture right here. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 28. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 28 says this. You'll probably recognize the scripture. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Within Christ we live and we move and we have our being. Within the life that we live was found in Christ. And if he had not died, we could not live this life. But because of him, in him is our life, is our moving, and is our being. Amen. There's power in sowing. The power of reaping is found in the power of sowing. See, if you want to reap something, you've got to sow something. If you want to have something, you've got to give something. Okay? So this is where the Father wants to have. He doesn't want to just have life to himself. Could have. Do you know Jesus Christ could have came to this earth as a man, and he could have lived from the day he came to this very day? He could have lived singularly because the power of life is in him. He is life, right? He could have lived, but unless it dies, it can't multiply. He could have taught the principles. He could have taught. He could have talked. He could have done all those things. But it was not until the death that the harvest could be activated. That's going to make more sense in just a little bit. Not more sense. I know you understand that, but it's going to tie together in just a little bit. Your life is tied to the life that's in Christ. That determines the harvest. And it's in him you live and move and have your being. So Christ is the seed. Christ is the beginning. Christ is the one that's placed into the ground and dies so that the harvest can come. Okay, now the Bible talks about the seed is the word. We're going to get there. But Jesus here is saying, he said, the hour has come, the Son of Man will be glorified. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you serve me, then follow me. Okay? Be my servants. Live because I have given you life. So what I want to look at for the remainder of the time together tonight is this. I want to look at the power of sowing, the power of life that's in this seed, and how does it come out? How does the harvest happen? Because this is vitally important for us. The seed carries life for the harvest. And unless it is sown into the ground and dies, it cannot produce the harvest. But here's the thing. For there to be a harvest, then the seed, the life that's in it, has to be in the right environment. Okay, if you want the harvest of the life of Christ in your life, then the seed of that life must be in the right environment. Okay? Notice, Jesus taught a parable in Matthew chapter 13, and he said the sower went out to sow. You remember that? The seed here was the Word of God. And he says he sows the seed, and some of it fell on stony ground. Some of it fell into thorny ground, and the stony ground, it sprang up, but then there was no roots, and so it died off immediately. The thorny ground, it sprang up and began to grow and produce, but then it was choked out by the cares of the world. On the side of the path, by the wayside, it was trampled down, and there was no depth there, and it couldn't even spring up like it was supposed to. But some seed fell into the good ground. And when the seed fell into the good ground, it produced just like it was supposed to. Come on now. See, Jesus died for you, and your life was found in him. He carried life for all of us and still does today. But in order to live in the harvest that he has for us, then the seed has to be in good ground. The environment is important. And let me tell you, the best environment for the harvest of life to come out from the seed that died for us from Jesus Christ, the best environment that you can be in for the seed, the life of Christ that's in you to produce the harvest now, the best environment you can be is among your brothers and sisters. That's what the church is about. That's what we are supposed to be. We are an environment where the harvest can produce. Amen. It's not about buildings, although coming into the building is important. But it's about coming together. The church, the environment's got to be right. If we want the harvest, there's power in sowing. There's power in the seed, and it's there. But for the harvest to be productive, it's got to be the right environment. That's why there's power of life in Christ, but so many people don't have that life. Because they have not been in the right environment for it to produce. Amen. Notice, he says in Scripture, it says, let us not, Hebrews 10:25, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that when we come together as the church, Paul would teach that spiritual gifts are in place and operating among us as we come together for edification, for exhortation, for preparation, for instruction, right? These things are to happen because the harvest needs to be produced and it has to have a right environment. The psalmist would write and would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The psalmist again would write and would say, better is one day in the courts of God. I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than thousands of days elsewhere. Why? Because if we're in the right environment, if our life is in the right environment, the harvest will produce through us because of the seed. It's not because of us, but we must be in the right environment so that the harvest can flourish and produce. Amen. See, Jesus came, died, resurrected, so the seed was planted. The seed resurrected, so the growth began. But the harvest now has to be from the right environment, the right setting. And so if you want the harvest that Christ can bring to you, the life that He carries for you, if you want that, you got to make sure your life is consistently in the right environment. This gets us in lots of problems. And we wonder why we're not living the life that we read about in the Word, because we're not in the right environment. It's not because the power of Christ is diminished. It's not because the life of Jesus is any less for us than it was for those disciples. It's that we are no longer in the right environment. Think with me. If you put yourself out in the environment of the world, the life that comes from Christ, there's power in that seed. There's power in that death. The life is there. It's there. It's possible. But if you're in the wrong environment, you're going to be choked out by the cares of life. You're going to have no foundation so that it can't last. When the heat comes on, the sun beats on you, you'll just wither up and die. Or by the wayside, if you're just in the wrong place, it'll never grab hold. So many people have allowed the life of Christ that could be everything for them, that in Him they live and move and have their being. And that's possible, but in the wrong environment, it's not going to happen. So you got to check your environment. If your life is not producing the harvest that is promised in the Word of God, number one, check your environment. Amen. That's exactly right. It's not the seed's fault. Check your environment. Number one, if your harvest isn't flourishing, because the life is in the seed and it's been planted. He's alive. He died and He rose again. So life is there. But if your life's not experiencing the harvest, check your environment. Amen. Get in. That's why people need to be together in the house of the Lord. That's why attendance, and we don't take roll so that we can, you know, get a little pin that I had perfect attendance. You're going to get up to, you know, heaven and say, hey, here's my perfect attendance pin, and that's not going to do you any good whatsoever. Although it will do you good if you've been attending in the presence of the Lord with God's people, because your life will have flourished. Amen. But we are living in a day where the environment is less and less important for God's people. And we think we can flourish in a harvest that has been promised in an environment that is not conducive for growth. No matter how powerful the seed is, If the environment is not right, the seed can be wasted. Life that's in that seed can be wasted. Amen. We've got, at our house, we've got a big old oak tree out there in front of our house. Big old, I hate that thing. I'm going to cut it down one of these days when I get adventurous enough. We can't grow grass. We've tried to take it from the back and put it in the ground, and the grass was fine. But the environment was not conducive. Amen. So we can keep trying to plant all the seed we want, all the little strands of Bermuda we want. We can keep doing all that. But until the environment gets better, we're wasting our time. Come on now. In our lives, you can say, well, I don't understand why I'm not receiving all this stuff that the Bible tells us. Well, number one, if that's you, check your environment. Okay? It's got to be in the right soil. The environment's got to be right. Number two, a seed in order, there's power, life's in the seed. He died, it's produced. So the harvest now should be productive in us. We should be living in the harvest that is promised to us. Okay, so we got to be in the right environment, the right soil, and then it has to be watered. Now, Ephesians 5:26 says it's the washing of the word. Amen. Go there with me. Let's just look at it. You might not believe me, so we'll go there. It's talking about husbands and wives being like Christ in the church. Verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's the teaching. And gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. And when that church is washed, watch this. When that church is washed with the water by the word, he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that the church should be holy and without blemish. Why? Because it's been watered by the word. So the environment has to be right, but then you got to be watered. You got to have the word in your life. If the harvest is going to be plentiful, if the harvest is going to, the life is there, it's possible. The promises are there. The seed has died. It's done its part. Christ died for our sins, and he resurrected so we could have life. Life, that's what the seed does. It's planted in the ground. It dies. You can't see what's happening, and then life starts coming up. And if the environment's right, it'll flourish. And if you water it, it'll begin to grow and flourish. Come on now. If the life is in you, you got to be in the right environment for it really to take hold and begin to go. But then you got to have the word. You got to be washed in the word. You've got to be watering what the life that is now in you. You have to be refreshing. Have you ever had plants that you didn't water? What do they start doing? Veronica will tell me sometimes, be sure and water, you know, before you head out. She'll head out before I do, so be sure and what when it's real hot. And how many know I can't fake it if I didn't water? I can tell her, oh yeah, I watered, but if I didn't water, the proof comes out, right? Because she walks out and says, hey, if you're watering, why are those plants looking like they're looking? Because they sure look like there's no water been put on them, right? We got a lot of Christians. We got a lot of believers. That you have life in you, the environment's right, you're in the, but it becomes obvious when you're not being watered by the word. When you're not intaking the word, when you're not being refreshed by the word of God on a consistent basis, it becomes obvious in your life. Your life becomes wilting. It becomes brown. It becomes negative. It doesn't look right. It seems to be diminishing. It's not producing what it's supposed to produce. And so when that's happening, well, check your environment. Am I in the right surrounding? Am I in the right place for this life that's in me to prosper? Am I putting myself around people where it can happen? Am I in the Word? Am I refreshing myself in the Word? Because if you do these things, not that these are steps to do it, but if you do what we're talking about tonight, your life will flourish with the harvest because of the life that was in the seed. There's no way it can't. It will work every time. If you take something and you plant it and you put it in the right environment, and you water it, and you do the other things we're going to talk about, every time it will work. That plant will grow, it will flourish, it will produce. If it's a flower, it'll put off beauty. It'll produce what it's made to produce. It's proven over and over. A farmer or a rancher, he goes out, if he sows into the ground, he doesn't have to wonder every day if it's working. Whether he sees it or not, if it's in the right environment and he's watering it, he just knows it's going to produce. Amen. So if you'll water your life with the Word of God and you'll make sure you're in the right environment, the power of life that was in the seed, the power of life in Christ, now in you will flourish and a harvest will produce. Okay? Number three. It's got to be in the right soil, so the right environment. It's got to be watered. And there's got to be the right temperature. The temperature's got to be right. I mean, if it's a warm weather plant, it's got to have warm weather, or else it's not going to produce, right? Right? If it's going to be wheat, you need that season there so it can really flourish of, 70 degrees or above or whatever the need is there, because the temperature is important in the harvest. The life is there. That's a given. The seed has done its job. It's been planted. What's been sown is doing its job. It's springing up. But for the harvest to be experienced and lived in, it's got to be in the right environment, it's got to be the right water with the Word for us, and it's got to be the right temperature. Amen. Let me tell you what the right temperature, what helps us with our temperature gauge. The Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize you with water under repentance, but there's one coming after me, Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and fire. Amen? There's a temperature thing. The Holy Spirit will make sure the temperature is right for the harvest to produce. He's like fire that burns within us. He's like power. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when they were all assembled in one place in the upper room in one accord, there came a sound like as of a mighty rushing wind, filled the place where they were all sitting, and there appeared over them and upon them cloven tongues like as of fire. See, the Holy Spirit will make sure the temperature is right so the harvest will be plentiful and produce in your life. What Jesus died for will happen if the Holy Spirit is given the ability to be your temperature gauge. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 18. Ephesians 5 and 18 says this, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled. Be being filled. Because he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks, submitting to one another. It's not just a one-time thing, but continue to be filled. Be being filled by the Spirit. Amen. Why? Because that's keeping your temperature at the right place to where your harvest can flourish because of the life that was in the seed that now has been transferred into your life. And if you will do what is necessary, if you allow the life to live in you and you'll put yourself in the right places, you will live every promise in this word. Here's a problem. So many in the day we are living, so many in our day, they want to take this and say it's not important. Oh, and you know, that's not necessary. Just get together and hear the word, and everything will be all right. Just come together, read your Bible, and everything's okay. But I want to tell you, if you want the harvest that the word talks about, you got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, and you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you'll miss the blessings of the harvest. How many of you know, if you do not believe in prophecy, you'll probably never be used in the gift of prophecy? Amen. If you don't believe in tongues, you'll never speak in tongues. Hey, come on. I mean, there's a lot of believers. They've been raised their whole life to believe that speaking in tongues and all, some of them even are taught that it's of the devil. I don't know how they can teach that when the Word of God is so plain and so explicit about it, but they'll teach that to people. And they'll teach them, it went out with the last apostles, not in the Word either. They'll come up with all sorts of reasons, but you know what? If you choose to believe that, then you'll miss out on those blessings of the harvest. Because I got to tell you, I love when I'm in my prayer time, my devotional prayer time, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in my life and begins to speak, gives me words that I utter that I don't understand, and He begins to intercede through me and on my behalf, because not only is He interceding about things that I'm not even understanding or don't even know how to pray for, but He's encouraging me and strengthening me and giving me a peace that passes all understanding. There's nothing like that in all of the world. And all I'm trying to say to you is this: if you don't want it, or if you don't seek for it, or if you don't ask Him to, or if you don't believe in it, you'll never have that experience, and you'll miss that portion of the blessing of the harvest that the life that is in Christ promised we could have. Jesus told His disciples, He said, in My name you'll cast out devils. How many of you know, if you don't believe in casting out devils, you won't ever cast a devil out? In My name you'll speak with new tongues. In My name you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you never lay hands on someone and pray for them, you're not going to be a part of that blessing. Are y'all with me? See, we can write this off, but it's the temperature, the Holy Spirit, the fire that is within us that ignites portions of this blessed harvest that Jesus died to give to us. Why would we sell ourselves short? That's my question. Why would we not want everything that Christ died to give to us? And here's the excuses. Well, I've seen some really crazy stuff. Well, I have too. I've seen some really crazy stuff. We could sit up here and talk about who has seen more crazy stuff, and I probably could stay right with you for a long time. I've seen lots of crazy stuff. But that has never caused me to question the reality of the moving of the Spirit in my life and that I have been privileged to see and be a part of. You cannot believe in it all you want. You cannot believe in words of knowledge and prophetic utterances all you want. But when you do, and the Holy Spirit moves in you and uses you in that way, there's no denying it after that. When the Lord has anointed me, the Holy Spirit has come upon me and anointed me to see something and say something that I had no knowledge of, no ability to speak to in people's lives, and speak it out, and it touches something in their life right where they go, that's not me, that's not intuition, that's not just knowing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's a part of the promised blessing of the harvest. Amen. If we want the full harvest, then we got to be in the right environment. We got to be washed in the Word. We got to be watering our lives with the Word. And we've got to have the right temperature going on. If you're some old, dead, old, cold, dry Christian, you're not going to live in the harvest that Christ died to give to you. Amen. Sitting around shivering because you're afraid of what the world's doing. You need to turn up the temperature. Amen. You need to let the Holy Spirit come alive in your life to show you He's got this. And you know what the temperature gauge does? You know what the Holy Spirit does? It points that harvest towards its destiny. When the temperature's right, the harvest reaches for its destiny. Amen. When the Holy Spirit is alive in us and moving in us and stirring us and keeping our temperature right, we press towards our destiny in Christ. Amen. Got to have the right temperature. You need lots of sun. Amen. Now, I could use the pun, but I'm not going to. The sun. You know, I could just. The sun. So I did do it. You need the sun. That keeps the temperature right. And the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. John 16 said, He doesn't speak on His own. He says the things that He has seen and heard of Me. He points you to Jesus. He points you to your destiny. He keeps directing you in your life. And so you need, if you want the full harvest. Okay. And then the last thing that causes the harvest to flourish is once it has taken over, it produces what continues. So once this harvest is flourishing, then it produces what can continue to create a harvest. The seeds are duplicated, they are replicated, they are spread further so that more harvest can come up. Amen. See, when we are living in the full harvest that the seed died that we could live in, then we will be producing what can continue in the lives of others. And it has nothing to do with us, it has everything to do with the life that is in us that's from Christ. That we have just placed in the right environment, watered it with the Word, had the right temperature with the Holy Spirit, and now produce what can continue. I want you to think that. Think about it. Let me tell you what the Word teaches. The Word, do you know the Word teaches finances? Your giving is a seed. That's what the Word tells us, that it's a seed. And so if you give in the right environment and in the Word, you're watered it with the Word and you're led by the Holy Spirit, it will produce and it will continue. You know, faith is like a seed. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it'll have to go. Right? If you believe that you receive when you pray, you can have whatsoever things you ask. Because it's a seed. And it's the life of Christ. And so faith comes from Christ. Our faith is in Christ. He died for us. He paid the price. Life came from Him. But if my faith is kept in the right environment, and it's washed in the Word, and it's full of the Spirit, then it will produce what will continue. Do you know your words are a seed? power of life and death is in your tongue, your words. But the only way you will live in the full harvest of your words is to keep them in the right environment, to speak the word, not your doubt, not your unbelief. Let the Holy Spirit, once you speak the word, you just give it to Him and you trust Him to empower your words and to make them come to pass, and then you watch them produce what will continue. The harvest, it's a principle that God began at creation and will last for as long as this world lasts. Seed time, harvest. So the seed dies, life begins. But then this is where we live in the fullness of what the seed provides. Adam had life in him. He was in the right environment. Can't think of a much better environment. He walked with God, cool of the day, so he was watered with the word, but at some point he began to hear the words of another. And the Holy Spirit, who kept him pointed towards relationship with God, he began to back away from that, and he listened to Eve, who had been deceived by the serpent, and they partook of the fruit, and they lost their harvest. Amen. It's a principle. Every person in the Word of God lived by that principle, or else they didn't live in their full harvest. You have one or two options. You either live in your full harvest or you waste your harvest of what could have been. Yes. It's exactly right. That's right. That's right. That's right. It can be. Absolutely. It can be brought out. Here's the thing. Because of life that's in that plant, because of where it began. Okay? Here's the good news about the life that we have in Christ. Is in a plant, that life can be extinguished completely. We've proven that at our house. Time or two. That life can be, it can get so far gone that there is no recovering it. Right? I mean, you know, where it gets so brittle that you can just break it. You know, it can't. But with Christ, our life source is Christ. And there is no end to His life. So therefore, if we come to Him, the harvest can be restored. Amen. But we must check our environment. Water with the Word. Keep the right temperature by the Holy Spirit. And then be willing to produce what will continue. And if we'll do that with our words, with our faith, with our finances, with everything in our life, with our relationships, with everything in our life, if we'll do this, we will live the full harvest that Christ came to die for. And that He purchased. Do you know He cried, "It is finished"? That means it's completed. He did what He came to do. And He rose again. And the angels appeared to them and said, "Why are you looking for the dead? The living among the dead. He is not here. For He has risen. Just as He said He would." Because when the grain goes into the ground and dies, life will begin to produce. So let me read it to you again and then we will close. John 12, verse 24, 23. "The hour has come that the Son of Man would be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." That's the promise. This is the way. Amen. But life for the harvest is always in Christ. Stand to your feet with me. So if your life is lacking, go back here and say, okay, if it's lacking, if the harvest isn't being seen that Christ promised, somewhere in here is lacking. Somewhere. If your life is lacking somewhere, if my life is lacking, it's somewhere in here. The environment, the water, the word, the temperature from the Holy Spirit, or the willingness to produce what will continue. Somewhere is lacking. So if I come back, the promise will be given. And I'll live in it. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we